You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
It's The Comedy Cellar Show, live. No, it's not live. It's Live from the Table, the official podcast of The Comedy Cellar, coming to you on Sirius XM 99 Raw Dog. And this, of course, is Dan Natterman, filling in for Noam, the normal host. Noam decided to take the week off for reasons that are unknown, but to him. But I think he's just kind of exhausted with everything that's going on. So it's just me tonight, which means there'll probably be, well, there will be less of a political angle to the show, which some of you probably will be disappointed. And I invite you to turn it off if you don't like it. But I tend to talk more about comedy and the Comedy Cellar and the lives of the comedians. And we might do some politics, too. I have today a wonderful group that I have assembled, handpicked. Mr. Nick Griffin is here with us.
Thank you. Good to be here, Dan.
Comedy podcast rarity, Gary Goldman, I convinced to stop by.
Hi, Dan. Nice to see you.
And even more rare on comedy podcasts, and we're lucky to have him, is Mr. Ryan Hamilton, who had to be dragged kicking and screaming, but here he is.
Hi. You know, when I found out my friends were here, I came along.
Well, Ryan rightly points out that there's really nothing in it for him.
That's exactly how he put it.
I can't
he
really.
He said, "What's in it for me?" He asked.
Financially,
career wise.
I was stumped. I had no good answer for him.
It's not just this podcast. I don't want to send that message. Podcasts in general, all of them.
Well,
let me send that message.
I hear you. Now, maybe if a podcast had millions and millions and millions of. Listeners.
Even then, Ryan's not interested. He tell him
what I always say. My favorite theory.
At some point, yeah. I said, "Why do we have to go on all these podcasts and share all our secrets?" And that stuck with Gary. He really, yeah.
It's so true. It's right on the money. Because I sometimes will go on these podcasts and I will share these very deep, meaningful things and sort of personal things, and then I'll see the person at a comedy festival. And I'll think, I wonder if they remember me. Even though I opened up and shared things I only share with my therapist. Like, will this person, I wonder if this person will remember me.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. It makes for interesting listening, I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
I do want to hit on something. I was going to hit on it last week, but Noam got so deep into Trump, as he always does. And once he's off and running on Trump, there's no coming back. But I do want
Donald?
That's the one, yes. Okay. Not the other Trump. But I do want to discuss the Comedy Cellar TV show. This week at the Comedy Cellar on Comedy Central, it debuted 3 weeks ago. We have discussed it on a previous podcast, but I'd like to get further into it. Nick, has anybody done it yet? I've done it.
I'm scheduled for this week.
You're scheduled for when, tomorrow?
Yes.
Now, just for the listeners, if you don't know, it's a show on Comedy Central that what it does is it... We talk about the news of the week, and they record a bunch of comics talking about, doing jokes about the week's headlines and related topics,
right.
And then they choose the ones that they want to put on the air.
Right, but the Comedy Central also chooses the topics, right?
Yeah, but they choose the topics, but you can do, if there's another topic you want to do, you can do it, and
okay.
They might put it in,
but
there's a less of a chance.
Right.
Because they tend to do the topics in chunks. So they'll say, this week they'll say, okay, Thanksgiving is a topic.
Right.
So they'll do a whole chunk of Thanksgiving jokes. Then they'll do a whole chunk, say, of fire in California jokes. Maybe.
Funny stuff.
Well, it could be made funny.
Yeah.
I think I hit a funny angle on it, but... I won't divulge because it might get on the show.
We'll wait and see.
But if it doesn't, I'll divulge it another time. But
you'll forget.
No, I won't forget.
I think you should divulge it.
Well, maybe. But
why are the people listening if they're not going to get some sort of inside scoop? And
well,
if that's
it's
not
to
inside...
do with Wesley Snipe fleeing, not from the fire, but there were bill collectors. So
nice.
That's...
It's terrific.
I'm glad I didn't get nearly as big a laugh as you gave
really?
It because I don't think people necessarily know that Wesley Snipes is having financial difficulty. I was going to do Lindsay Lohan, but I don't want to pick on her because I felt she's too fragile and it's not
enough.
Nice.
Whereas Wesley has had a free run for a
while.
Wesley
can handle it, and you know. Wesley's not.
I can't imagine what his bills must be with that career to be in debt.
Well, that's nothing. I mean, people, I mean, they say that Johnny Depp is...
Oh, yeah, I read that, you know, that Vanity Fair, I think it was.
I didn't read it.
A couple of divorces will do it to you.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, the point is...
It ain't cheap.
If you do a topic that's not part of... It's less likely to get in because they prefer to group. But anyway, Nick, how do you feel? You're taping it tomorrow?
I am. Well, no, I'm sorry, Wednesday.
And tonight is Monday. This will be airing on Thursday, but we're recording Monday, so you're taping Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
How are you feeling about it?
Well, I think that, you know, it's harder for me to get a handle on some of the political stuff because it's just, it's not my forte. But, I have a couple things that I'm okay with, and I hope they get on. But it took me a while, you know. You got to sit, like, you write for yourself, and it's kind of easy after all these years. You kind of get, not to write great jokes, but just to get into a writing motion, and here was a little stilted, but I think I got a couple.
Well, because normally you wouldn't, some of the topics you might theoretically talk about, but when they say, for example, a topic that you would never talk about, so it's not natural for you to talk about, for example, hey, did you hear about, I'm trying to think of an example, Harley Davidson has an electric motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something I would ever talk about, so it's not going to be natural for me to talk about it.
Yeah.
I find the process, and I don't know if I'm alone or not, I find the whole thing horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
For a number of reasons.
It provokes anxiety.
First of all, anytime I do
a
new joke, I have anxiety.
Sure.
And this show is you're doing a bunch of new jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Add to that the aspect of you don't know that they're going to use these jokes. So now you're like, okay, are they going to use it? And if they don't use it, and the last 2 weeks they didn't use any of my jokes... I felt horrible about myself.
Sure.
Really? And it doesn't take much to convince me that I'm unworthy.
And also, there's only a handful of topics, so, you know, a lot of people are going to be writing jokes on those specific topics, and, you know, maybe there's only 4 or 5 jokes you can really get out of them, and maybe not a bunch of people have the same one.
But the point is the network
one.
Or whomever, the producer, is picking the jokes, and you feel like, wait, why did they pick that joke and not my joke? And then you feel like, oh, shit, you know, I'm trying to...
You're talking me out of it, quite frankly.
Well, you might have more self-esteem than I do, but it doesn't take much to convince me, again, that you know, maybe it's me.
Right.
But you guys, Ryan and
I'm going to try it in a couple of weeks, I think. I just haven't had an opening in my schedule that I had enough time to do it. But I did the pilot, and I kind of enjoyed doing the pilot. I mean, I liked going through the exercise. It's not something that I would normally do, and if the show was every week, I don't know how often I would do it, but I don't mind going through the exercise. And my fear was that I'm doing a 10 to 15 minute set, and I didn't want to give them 10 to 15 minutes because I knew I'd only have a few minutes that I was okay with them.
Well, you can tell them, just use this joke, this joke, or this joke.
So when I found that out, it made me go, okay, I'll give it a try. So I'm going to try it.
Well, you have a good attitude, but he has the Lord in his life.
Yeah,
which I think.
Well, you know what? I feel like I have the Lord in my life as well, but on a much more ambivalent about my relationship with the Lord.
What do you believe in the Lord?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you were agnostic.
Yeah. No, I'm on board with the Lord.
it's
a new T-shirt. Yeah, on board with the Lord. No, I believe in Lord, but I mean, part of it is there's a you know, percentage of Pascal's wager to it that you've got nothing to lose by believing in God. But there's also a certain amount of faith that I have and I can't shake. So, yeah.
So given that, when are you going to do the Comedy Cellar show?
I have ambivalence about doing the Comedy Central show as well.
Now, why is that, if I may
just
ask?
It's a daunting idea to write brand new jokes for a show, and I don't think it's the proper compensation for writing and performing on a television show.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Everybody has their own idea.
Yeah, something
of what proper compensation would be
doing. I would want more money to do.
Yeah,
fair enough. For me, the money is you're probably you're a big act, as Rich Voss would say. I mean, it all depends what other shit you got cooking.
I don't know about that. I have.
Well, not only that, but you don't mind going on the road.
Right.
In fact, you enjoy it.
Yeah, I do.
If
like
I can
the road.
Make a paycheck and stay,
you actually enjoy it.
Yes, I love it. Yeah.
Oh my good heavens.
Yeah, Yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, I wish I was that way.
Yeah.
But if I can make a check and keep my bony ass right here in Manhattan,
no, I understand.
I will
that.
Do that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm going away tomorrow to Florida. I have a gig on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
I'm going tomorrow. Tomorrow right. is Tuesday as yeah. we record this show. Why, you ask? Why would I go to Florida on Tuesday for a Wednesday show? The answer is I have to separate the anxiety, the twin anxiety
yeah, yeah, yeah.
of travel and
yes.
show.
No, that's a great point.
I like going a day early all the time.
Yeah, going in a day early makes a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is it's all based on my mood. So I'm in, you know, I've been feeling well for a while now, so I don't mind traveling. But when I'm anxious and depressed, I don't want to travel. So I'm just sort of what is that, making hay while the
sun shines?
Sun shines.
Well, that's also because I'm going to someplace that's reasonably okay. I'm going to Orlando.
Right.
If I was going to Cincinnati, I may not get in a day early.
No.
You know, you have to weigh out
yeah.
if you're going to be in a nice place, at a nice hotel, happen to be going to a nice hotel.
And the weather will be good.
Yeah.
So for that reason, but, you know, I'll go a day early. And this way I don't have to be anxious about the show and anxious about traveling at the same time.
Yeah.
Rest assured, I will be anyway.
Right, but less anxious.
But less anxious about right. the show.
You'll be less anxious on Tuesday than you are on Wednesday.
Wednesday it will hit.
Yeah.
Is that a corporate event?
It is a corporate event, yeah.
Do you get relief after the show is done or as you're doing the show? Or is it just...
Yeah, after the show is done, it's nice. I mean, yeah. I have a drink or whatever. And it,
right.
You know, check.
Yeah,
the check is on its way, it's a good feeling. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Well, that feeling when you kind of glance at your watch. I don't know if you time yourself now normally, but I have a watch, and I have a joke about that includes a watch, so I get to look at my watch.
Oh,
I joke
yeah.
about
it.
You
need
my,
one of those.
Yeah,
and I look at that watch and I see 5 minutes left to go, and it's kind of like on a Friday.
Yes,
at school.
Fifth period.
Friday afternoon. Yes,
yes.
And you're looking at that clock, and you know that bell's going to ring.
2:40. Yeah.
We used to get out at 2:11, and I would always say I close shop at 2.
Yeah.
So I would even if the teacher was giving notes, I looking back on it, it was a pretty funny thing for a kid to do. I would close my book, stop taking notes, and say that and the people would say, "What are you doing?" And I would say, "I close shop at 2 on a Friday."
That is funny.
Well, we all stop.
It's, really, it's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that kid.
I would start packing. I would start packing a couple. Like, when it's a couple minutes, I would start, you know, putting the pencils in my pencil case and closing the, you know, get ready to, but I wouldn't officially close shop. But you do turn off.
I don't know what I would do if there was a test. I can't imagine that they would give a test last period on a Friday, but... Yeah.
Well, look, even the teacher wants to get the hell out of it. You think
you think they
want to be there?
Totally.
You didn't think about that back then.
No,
but
you
now
didn't.
You
no.
totally
now
realize
like,
that.
Well, they, now you realize
like, oh,
they
didn't, I hate these kids.
Yeah, they didn't like it any more than we. They were like the prison guards. They're in there too.
Yeah.
Speaking of the road, Mr. Ryan Hamilton is doing something that I'd very much like to do. He's opening for Jerry Seinfeld.
Nice.
Oh.
I mean, I don't mean that I'd like to open for Jerry Seinfeld. I'd like to open for any big act.
Yeah?
Because I think it's the cushiest gig in all of stand-up.
Hi, guys.
Well, you can have a seat if you want. Every time I had Marina to do this podcast, you give me the hi-hat. The only people who want to do it are white guys.
Well, I'm here.
If I don't say anything, they'll think you're lying that I was here.
Okay.
Hi, guys. Hey, white guys.
Hi, Marina.
Hi, Marina. Good to see you.
I'm all for diversity, but, you know, we're supposed to have Carmen Lynch, who's a white girl.
Talking about some white guys.
Are you going to join us?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, then you can't change it up for the new year.
All right. Well, if you ever want to, you're always welcome, but I don't ask you because you typically say not interested, and so I respect that, and I don't want to make you feel ill at ease. We did have Carmen Lynch scheduled for the show. Carmen Lynch is?
From around the corner.
Oh, good.
Well, she told me she couldn't make it, but in any case, we'd be happy to have her. I just like the opening for a big act to me is a nice gig. You do 20 minutes. What do you do, 20 minutes?
15, a little more, maybe like 17.
17 minutes.
No less than 15.
I mean, that's easy.
Well, it's easy.
And you're getting a decent paycheck.
You got to do well. There's a lot of pressure on that 15-minute set. I want it to be perfect. I want it to be great, and I want to set the table appropriately.
Yeah, but you see, that's you.
Yeah.
You're too perfectionist-y.
Well,
because the truth is, Seinfeld.
But that's the gig. That's the job, really.
I think the job is to, is the job of an opening act. I put it to you three. The job of an opening act, whether you're opening, be it for Tracy Morgan, for Jerry Seinfeld, for whomever, is your job to kill, or is your job to do a nice job?
I'm not saying you have to kill, but I'm just saying part of opening for someone is setting the table properly, you know?
Well, my query to you is, what constitutes setting the table properly?
It's different for different shows. You know how it is. How does the audience feel? Are they ready? How much time have I done? Which joke should I do that sets them up properly? Is the energy good? All those considerations.
Do you finish and then somebody off mic introduces Jerry, or is there like a minute or two, or
someone,
do you bring up
someone,
Jerry?
The tour manager, Kevin, who's great, comes on stage actually, which is huge. Usually you don't get somebody to come on stage. So the tour manager comes on stage and he says, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry has a special guest tonight, and he gives a credit, and then he brings me up, and then I go out and I do like, I usually end up doing 16 or 17 minutes, and then I come off, and then Jerry just goes out after a beat.
And the audience is happy to see you, I mean.
Yeah.
Sometimes, the bad thing about opening for a huge act sometimes is you feel like they're thinking, why we got to sit through this guy when we're here for the other guy?
Yeah, that was all the experience I had when I opened for Dane Cook many years ago.
That's the Dane Cook audience, you see.
Yeah, their audience was a bit rambunctious. It depends on the act and the audience here. But, I mean, they were actually pretty good for the most part, but yeah, Jerry Seinfeld's audience is ideal. They're all fans of that show, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Well, they're also, you know, they're going to behave. They're not going to be rambunctious.
Right.
They're
going to
be,
at a
minimum, they're going to be polite.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They'll probably...
They're great crowds. We just did L.A., and they were fantastic shows from the beginning. It doesn't always feel like this, but I told Jerry, I was like, right? I never experienced that as an opening act, where you walk on stage and it feels like you... you're halfway into a show.
The only thing, some people aren't as show business savvy as we are. LA stands for Los Angeles.
I'm sorry.
He's gotten so...
Hollywood.
He's been opening for Jerry Seinfeld, he's gone a little bit Hollywood. He's gone Los Angeles, L.A.
Do you pick your...
I wonder if there was a time when that was considered... right? Like, people are so sick of you calling San Francisco Frisco. I wonder if there were people who were like, ooh, L.A.
Well, maybe when it
La-di-da.
First got that... I assume that Los Angeles had that nickname.
It's a great
pretty
nickname.
I don't know if the Spaniards called it L.A.
No.
When it was,
when
it was Our Lady... Because it started off as like a mission, like Our Lady of Los Angeles, you know, of Nuestros Demos de Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, L.A. I don't know.
Maybe it happened so quick.
Yeah. And even the airport, LAX.
Yeah.
There's really no X in Los Angeles airport, but they threw that in there. Maybe that stands for international.
No, but every airport has a three-letter identifier.
Yeah.
So that's the identifier. Kennedy Airport, a little trivia, was KIA, Kennedy International Airport.
Oh, no.
It was changed after Vietnam, or during Vietnam, or that era, because KIA, the connotation was
killed
so hard.
Killed in action. Oh, my gosh.
They changed it to JFK.
Wow, that's a really interesting piece of trivia.
It may be completely made up. I don't know. I think I read that somewhere.
Wow.
But sometimes I say shit that's not true. But I think it
so
is true.
That's so believable. Yeah.
I think it is true, though. But do you ever pick your own openers?
I have over the past several years.
Well, actually, I opened for you once down in Florida many years ago at a corporate event.
Yeah, it was a corporate gig.
But what are your criteria?
They have to be clean.
Yeah.
And lately, I've tried to get ideally a woman or a woman of color or a person of color or a gay person or somebody just for some
Variety,
yeah. Instead of I usually would have another man open for me, and I feel like that might... After all this Me Too stuff came out, it became clear that women were having a really hard time getting work, especially road work.
Yeah.
So I thought I might try and help out there.
That's good. I try to do that too.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes. It's, you know, when you go to a city, you're just limited to... I use the local people mostly.
Yeah.
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 Well, how important is that they kill in front of you? Or do you want somebody that doesn't kill too hard?
I mean, as I'm waiting in the wings and they're killing really hard, I'm like, ugh, how am I going to follow this? But usually it's just an indication of a really good audience.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's just anxiety. But yeah, it would be nice if they were mediocre. I prefer them
that's
to
what
do,
you shoot for.
I prefer them to do okay. I don't want them to. I mean, there's got to be a time where somebody gets so good that it's like, I don't want to follow this person.
Well, this is what I'm talking about, setting the table. Like, it's a job. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be aware of what the set is.
And I don't want anybody doing crowd work or asking where people are from or anything like that. I want jokes
You know what I think a good criteria is? I just thought of it, but now that I think of it, is a good criteria is they're not talking about the same shit you're talking about.
Yes.
I don't want, you know, to have to. Yeah. I go up there because when I do the road, which is seldom when I do clubs, I watch the opening act because I don't want, if I have to say the same topic that they say, I want to be able to say, oh, so and so was talking.
Yes.
So it doesn't sound ridiculous.
Yes.
But it sounds ridiculous if you're like, hey, you guys hear pot is legal, just to take an example, pot is legal in college. When the guy might have done 20 minutes on that.
Right, totally.
So I got to watch him. Yeah. And then I can say, hey, so-and-so was talking about pot being legal in Colorado, and then it doesn't seem as ridiculous.
I think it's so important to watch the people who go on before you, and I like doing that here at the Cellar, because you also find out you think, oh, I have this new joke on this, and then somebody else has a joke on it, and it's like, well, if there's one person on your show that's doing the same topic, there's probably a dozen others somewhere else, so maybe you need to come from a different topic. Go for a different topic, maybe. I don't know. Something to do before you go on stage besides eat.
Well, I'd rather not watch the people before me, but...
Oh, yeah. It makes me anxious, but it's sort of due diligence.
But I do feel it is due diligence, which is, by the way, one reason why having a woman open for you might be better because they're less like... There's certain topics they won't discuss.
Yeah. But the other thing that I've noticed over the years is that the audience almost resets with every comedian. And
yeah.
Although I guess that was another thing I was concerned with the Comedy Central show is that if a lot of the comedians are talking about the same topic, maybe the audience gets burnt out on that topic by the end of the night, so it's better to go on early.
What are these guys all live in the same house? Is there a writing table where they're all at?
Well, we all live similar lives, so we're going to pick up on stuff.
Whenever I see something on the subway that strikes me as funny, I'm like, oh, somebody else has noticed this.
Yeah.
But Gary, your style is so unique. No, I know. I was going to say unique.
Oh, thanks.
That it's hard to imagine. And even if they covered the same topic, it wouldn't be. Chances are they wouldn't cover the same topic. And if they did, it wouldn't be in the same way. Nobody else is talking about the state abbreviations that you have that whole bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
You have a bit about a woman having sex with her professor. To be sure, that's a topic that somebody else might have covered. They will not have covered it as you do, in that way that you cover it.
Perhaps.
Wherein she talks about where you say, well, why is she taking a survey course and she's a senior? Or how did the credits transfer? Those ridiculous, absurd points that you make.
Yeah, but I don't even think that premise is original. I think the premise of taking a role play very seriously, that has to have been done.
It might have been. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
If it has been done.
I don't worry about that so much. I think if it comes out of you in an original way, you know?
Yeah. There used to be sort of a comedy police type
I think that's
situation over the years that sort of died down as people realize that it's nearly impossible to be completely original in your topics. Yeah. But you constantly get a lot of times you get a Twitter, hey, you're doing the thing about this. It's like, I didn't even use the same words as...
Oh, ruins your day. I've had that happen two or three times.
Yeah.
And they say, they're always snarky about it. They always say, so. Like, it's happened twice now to me, and somebody said, I really liked it when XYZ did that. That was a funny joke. I really liked it when XYZ did it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're like,
That was David Spade's formula on his weekend update spot. What was that called? The Hollywood Minute
Hollywood
or something?
Minute,
yeah, that was really... He had this one where when Mrs. Doubtfire came out, he said, I think I like this movie better when it was called Tootsie.
I like how you pronounce Tootsie also.
I think that's how he pronounced it.
Is it Tootsie?
I think so. Maybe I added that. Tootsie.
Either way,
Nick, are you in town this weekend?
No, I'm not. I'm in Montreal at the old Comedy Nest.
Oh, I've been to the Nest.
Yes,
great
I go
room.
Up there Thursday.
Oh, great I, room. You know, great like, green room.
Yeah, nice green room.
Lots of
very
cool
nice owners.
And the city, you know, Montreal's
great
a cool
room.
City.
Yeah,
cool
city. Everything's good about it. There's yeah. not a bad thing about Montreal or the Comedy Nest that I can come up with.
It's overall pretty good. but my mother has a friend that always comes to see me because she lives in Montreal.
Sure.
And I always feel under pressure to have new jokes.
Oh.
So that I would now you know I know Gary has 80 hours of 80 hours of material, but I do not. Right. I have a relatively
small
lean and mean in terms of my.
Yeah, but I know that feeling where somebody comes to see you again. And you're like, ugh,
yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Don't come.
I love that material when you did it 2 years ago. Same guy.
Well, I turned down a gig recently because they like that I did like last year because they wanted all new. And I said, well, I mean, I could have said, yeah, I'll take the. I could have lied and maybe somebody else would have done this and said, okay, you know, I got 40 minutes of new materials to get that because it was a good check.
Right.
And I could have said, oh, sure, I can do another four and then get down and then just bomb for 40 minutes and take the check.
Right.
But I couldn't do I mean, it would just.
Right.
I don't have the stomach to do that. Now, maybe there's somebody out there that does.
You have integrity.
Integrity and all. I suppose if I was desperate enough, maybe I would have.
Right. Yeah.
But I didn't have to, so I just don't want to be in that situation where I'm.
Yeah. Didn't one feel a small amount of resentment on that policy where every time somebody new sees you, it has to be a whole new act? Because I feel like every time I go see bands that I, especially ones I really love, I like hearing a couple hits.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, but music...
I do resent it.
I mean, music is different than comedy. Music, you can hear the same song over and over again. At least, I mean, there's a limit to that, too. You know, after 100... Look, I don't need to hear Blackbird anymore, you know, the Beatles. But it took 40 years.
Right.
I've never heard Blackbird.
You never have? Blackbird?
No.
Waiting
Isn't
in
that
the
incredible?
Kind of.
At least not by the Beatles. Maybe you a know. Cover version of, but I don't know how it goes.
Well, I just did
Go
it.
Go ahead, Dan.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Okay.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
All right, I think I heard it on the I Am Sam soundtrack.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did it justice, but the point is,
a beautiful
is songs eventually you get sick of, but a joke you get sick of, generally, I mean, that loses its flavor very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like Rainblow.
Yeah, because they...
Is anybody familiar with Rainblow?
Or
Rainblow is big gumballs.
Fruit Stripe gum.
Fruit Stripe is fast, too. Rainblow is I mean,
yellow.
it's an intense high, but it's two chews, and it's the most. The balls of like this green and red, a cherry and green apple and grape.
Yeah.
And those first two chews, you're transported.
Wow.
But then by the third chew, it's like I'm over this.
That's hilarious. Yes, Fruit Stripe gum is like six.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a six chewer?
Yeah.
Now there's some gums that last, but they're not that good to begin with. So do you want? I mean, I guess it's like a relationship. Do you want intense and short or long and routine? Like a dentine. Which the flavor will last a while,
what
but
kind
it's...
What relationship do you want in terms of gum?
Well, I think relationship like gum and, or
yeah,
whatever.
I get it.
I want the dentine.
You want the dentine rather than the Fruit Stripe of the Rainbow.
Yeah.
This is a good segue, by the way. I want to congratulate Gary for making the move to vegetarianism.
Oh, look
yes.
at you.
Which he did recently.
How recent?
January 1, 2018.
Oh.
You've which been dabbling a long time.
I've been dabbling for quite some time.
I mean, I think it's the moral choice. I think, you know, it's obviously good for the environment because raising cattle takes a lot of energy and contributes to global warming.
Sure.
It's certainly good for the animal.
Yep. yeah.
And it's good for your health, I imagine, although you got to be careful to make sure you get all the right nutrients. And
yeah.
There can be some...
Yeah, I do take some supplements.
Now, of the reasons for going veg...
Yes.
Morality, environment, health... What one...
I read this article by Michael Pollan last year, and he had quoted a philosopher who had said that we had made this agreement years ago, and I forget what the... It was something about equality. We had made this agreement years ago about not treating people who were less smart than us any different than we treat people who are as smart as us. And by extension, animals are just less intelligent versions of us, so we should treat them equally. And I said, well, that makes sense. And now I can't eat them anymore. Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's anything in that argument that I can debate. You know, I think that's. I mean, you could argue that we don't know whether certain animals have consciousness or feel pain.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they can't tell us that they do, but we don't know that they don't.
Yeah.
And I think I can argue that it's better to err on the side of caution. On the other hand, I would find it very difficult to go vegetarian.
Yeah. It hasn't been that hard. But we're living in sort of a golden age of veganism and vegetarianism, so that there are a lot of restaurants that offer that option, and also it's not for somebody who's broke. Like, you have to have some money to afford the groceries to eat vegan and to eat out vegan. So it's something that coincided with me doing better financially.
Technologically, I mean, you know, I mean, being a vegan 150 years ago probably wasn't an option.
Right, yes. Totally.
It would certainly have been very difficult. They didn't have, some of the...
Right.
We had the veggie burgers or whatever that they're perfecting all, you know.
And also living in New York, it's the easiest place to be vegan, vegetarian.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. On the road, do you find it more difficult, or it's okay?
Yeah, a little bit difficult, but usually I can find one or two restaurants, and I bring a lot of vegan bars that this company called Nugo makes, and then there's one called No Cow. It's a pretty good vegan bar. So, yeah.
But I did read, and the literature is pretty clear on this. From what I've read, there is a correlation between vegetarianism and mental illness. There is a higher rate of anxiety and depression amongst vegetarians.
That's so interesting.
And they don't know whether it's because vegetarianism causes mental illness, or the mentally ill become vegetarian.
That's really interesting.
So they don't know that. So you being a vegetarian and having somebody who has had your issues with mental illness, do you have any insight to offer on what might be the connection?
The only thing I know is that I wasn't able to commit to this lifestyle until I was feeling well, and I know that it's actually, I think, improved my mental health in that I'm eating a lot less sugar and processed foods, and I know that sometimes contributes to moods and anxiety and things like that. So I don't know. I'd have to look at the studies.
The one hypothesis was that people who are depressed or anxious are more likely to be hypochondriacs.
Oh, wow.
And hypochondriacs are more likely to be concerned about eating healthy.
Right. Oh,
and so that's the one hypothesis as to why
there's a lot of guilt involved in being anxious and depressed. So you'd feel bad. Oh, I feel bad for these animals. And there's maybe more empathy and
Well, those are all possibilities. Although I agree with you when you said you had to feel good to be a vegetarian because you're sacrificing pleasure.
To a certain extent.
But
like I said, there are a lot of meals that are so delicious and are vegetarian.
And maybe overall your well-being, you just feel better.
Yeah.
You're healthier.
Yeah, my digestion has never been better, and I can exercise more frequently because a lot of times I would have eaten a big meal and I'm like, I can't exercise. I got to digest this. I can't.
John Lasseter, if you want to sit, you're welcome to. All right, that's John Last. I'm just now I'm feeling self-conscious that we don't have sufficient diversity here at the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I don't think we need to have diversity every single time.
No.
There are times when everybody at the table is diverse, if you will.
Yeah.
I.e., of color, gay, woman.
Yeah.
This time, it so happens that everybody is a white man.
Yeah.
And white, I use that term in its broadest possible sense.
Certainly.
Given that Gary and I might not be considered white by certain people.
Racist.
Being that we're of the Jewish... but now Nick Griffin... Nick Griffin is a white man, bona fide. As far as Ryan Hamilton's concerned, I think he's part of Pache Indian.
We've had this conversation before.
Pache.
My grandfather, I think, had like a 16th or a 32nd or something like that. My grandfather.
Have you 23 to Mead?
No. I should do that.
Well, if you're interested.
Did you?
Wait a minute. Did you?
Did you? Did you do the 23?
Jewy.
I did say it wrong.
Jewy.
I haven't done it. I'm pretty sure I know what it would say. It probably roughly the same thing that Noam says.
What
which is
Noam
like
say?
98% Ashkenazi Jewish and like
really. They can be that specific Ashkenazi Jewish?
Yeah, they get that
really
specific, I think. And then, you know, a couple of percentage points, he had other shit in him. You know, it also said, it said 100% annoying. No,
I'm
kidding.
That's funny.
All right.
I have a friend, this is interesting, who he grew up in Southern California, and I don't know the whole story with his parents, but he didn't know their background very well. I don't know all the reasons why. But he had a darker complexion, and all of his friends were Latino, Mexican, a lot of them in Southern California. And he grew up, and that's what he was told he was, and he took one of those tests. He's a family friend, and my dad took one, and so my dad got him this for a gift, and he took it. And it came back that he was Native American.
Oh, wow.
And he went and talked to some family and said, yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, my gosh. So, well, he thought he was Latino.
Yeah, his whole life.
Wow, that's fun.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And did his family know otherwise?
I can't remember all the details, but he said, I don't think he knew his father very well,
oh,
maybe.
I see.
But, yeah, it was fascinating to talk to because he's in his 60s, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty interesting. How would that be?
Well,
so
Nick,
it made me want to take it, but I haven't.
Nick,
done.
I'm pretty sure is just Northern European. There might be other things in there lurking.
Well, my mom is from Dutch and from the Dutch, and then my dad is Irish.
Oh, Griffin's an Irish name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty right. Irish.
Oh, all right. I wasn't necessarily
interesting
aware
or
of
entertaining.
That. Well, you know, we do often talk about politics on this show. Usually Noam, you know, likes to do all politics, and I like to do more comedy. But we could talk about the midterm elections that were recently, that everybody...
I like it when the show is reflective of what the comedy table is like. And if Noam is there, we talk a lot of politics.
Yeah.
That's true.
And if Noam's not there, we talk a lot of bitching about stand-up. So why don't we do that?
What else is going on?
But the midterms, I was a little bit disappointed. But the outcome was not. I had expected the Senate to stay Republican and was hopeful about the House going Democrat. So I wasn't surprised by anything. I'm an ultra liberal, so.
Well, I normally never vote on the midterm. I've never voted in a midterm ever. And but everybody had those damn stickers. And I made fun of the stickers. You know, but
oh, what did you say?
Well, I just had a joke about, you know, I had a joke that they didn't use for the Comedy Central show, which was you know, people say I voted as if that were necessarily a good thing, and I think if you're uninformed, you shouldn't vote and be proud of that. And then people go up to you and say, "What was that sticker say?" Kept my ignorant ass at home. You know,
I love that.
Well,
that's a great joke, and that didn't make
it. It didn't make it.
Give me some of the jokes and the comedian who said them that did make it on the show, and then we can really tell people what
figure
we think.
Out, yeah.
Well, you can
let's pretend that we're not on the radio, and how a real lunch would go.
No, you know Vecchione.
Who Vecchione? That old.
he had a decent one on stickers that I don't want to repeat it because. You know, in case you don't like it or you like it better. Either way, there could be hard feelings.
I love Vecchio. I
love Vecchio.
I feel bad, yeah.
But it didn't get on. But the point is those stickers do have, if they have any value,
ass at home. That's funny. It's got everything.
Hilarious. Well,
it's got everything. A middle-aged Jewish man talking slang like that? It's funny.
Well, I don't want to just be the slang-talking middle-aged Jew. I also want to say something.
Yeah, but I'm saying it was multi-layered.
Multi-layered.
Yeah,
okay.
Smart.
Well, I think the good thing about that joke is that it does say it does say a truth, and the truth is that voting, if you're an ignoramus, is probably you shouldn't do it.
Right. Yeah.
But what the stickers did do is they made me vote because I like everybody's vote. I felt like if I don't vote, you know, I'm doing something wrong. So I went and voted. I never voted in the midterms.
Yeah.
And I sent a text to Noam. I said, oftentimes I've just, over the years, I've just voted the Democratic ticket. I don't want to do that. I want to have reasoned choices.
Yeah.
So I texted Noam, can you help a brother out here? Not the Jew talking slang again.
Yeah.
Can you help me out? I know you're well informed, and you're, you know, can you give me some guidance as to who I should vote for? I won't necessarily follow you slavishly, but I'll listen to what you have to say. He just wrote back, I have no idea.
Wow.
That's what Gnome said.
And he's up on things.
And he's up. I guess he's not up on, you know, like the you know, because some of the stuff is so specific.
Right.
Like, you know, the it was like Carolyn Maloney versus this, versus like, I forgot it, but like for the House of Representatives.
Ross Bennett.
It wasn't right. It was like Nate
Bargatze.
With Nate Bargatze, and he's a good comic, but I just don't know that I
Nate
want him
Bargatze
in the House.
was up against
but what do you make
Jordan
a good
Rubin?
Comptroller?
Yeah, there's like Comptroller and State AG or shit like that. It's like, I'm completely uninformed.
Yeah. Comptroller. Yeah.
I'm completely uninformed, so I just Democratted those, and I voted against Cuomo.
Did you?
Something got into me, and I'm not sure why. I don't like dynasties.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, I don't. The truth is, I don't know much about the other guy. But
did you enjoy Dynasty?
I never watched Dynasty.
The '80s hit show Dynasty, which
I never watched that, but
phenomenon in 1980s.
It was
America.
Bad, yeah. But that before in Netflix. Dallas.
Must see.
It well, must be unwatchable now.
it had a great theme song. And
there's a big staircase.
The theme song was tremendous to Dynasty. That was back in the golden age of theme songs.
It was the golden age of theme songs.
I mean, the theme song in those days was like almost a top 40 song that you could enjoy.
First record I ever bought was the song to Rockford Files. That was the first.
Really?
I bought it as a 45.
It's a great
wow.
song.
Oh, that's a great song. There was the theme song to Greatest American Hero, which was a top 40 song.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome Back, Carter, I think, was a top 40 theme song.
Is that Michael? That's who is that? Who sings?
That was John Sebastian that was the Loving Spoonful that sang
Good
the Welcome,
times,
no, the Welcome Back,
time
Carter.
You made a payment.
That's a good song, too. Cheers.
Good times.
But let's listen to Dynasty.
Ooh. Beautiful.
Takes me back. Footy pajamas.
Footy pajamas.
I mean, you know, it's like a classical song. I mean, it sounds like Bach or something, right?
Yeah, it's
right?
A beautiful theme song.
Was Christopher Cross Greatest American Hero?
Yeah.
No, I don't think
no?
so.
No? Am I wrong?
I think you are wrong. I can
but
look it up.
The Moonlighting theme song by Al Jarreau, that was a beautiful song. Some fly by day.
I don't really remember it, but... There was Charles
the
and Charles.
Did I ever do my impression of the man singing the Cheers theme song in the studio?
No.
No.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Ah, Jesus.
Did you do that on stage back in Boston, Karen?
No. It's just a fun thing to do for...
Because you
my
used
friends.
To do some impressions, you told me, early in the day.
Yes, I That's started off as an impressionist.
Did you really?
Yes.
That's fun, right?
Yeah.
Well, I thought when I started comedy, we all kind of have our own notion of what it is to be a comic, and I thought you needed some impressions. Mm.
Certainly helped. Audiences love impressions.
Yeah, but I was no
but
good
comedians,
at it.
Comedians think of less of impressionists sometimes, but the great ones really stand out.
I did have Louis Schaefer, who you may remember. A real nutcase.
Oh, a funny guy, though. What a
but
character.
But he told me when I first started doing comedy, he says, Dan Adaman, you write a nice joke, but nobody remembers who you are. I'm the not gay guy. Because his whole act was about, how he's not gay.
He had a catchphrase.
Yeah, he had a catchphrase. He goes, I'm not gay. Everybody says, Louis Schaefer, not gay.
Yes.
But you don't know, nobody knows who you are. You need a catchphrase. So I came up with a catchphrase, I never learn. And that was a catchphrase.
Oh, I love it.
And I try to shoehorn every joke, and I never learned it, but I just...
Oh, that's
hilarious.
It's
very hard to, you know, I mean, it was so limiting.
That is funny.
I guess I could have
done
it once in a while.
I never learn.
But I just couldn't think of that many jokes with the I never learn, you know, thing.
I love it.
Well, I'll tell you, I never learn. It could have been like a Rodney thing.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me happy. Yeah.
Well, jeez, I never learn, you know? I'll tell you, that hooker, jeez, and she had a penis. I tell you, I never learned. You know?
The woman gave you a fake
phone
number.
I should have known by the Adam's apple. I called her up. It was a Chinese restaurant. That's one of my jokes.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, yeah.
So that goes, when I call a girl up and they go, Hunan Garden.
Yeah.
And I say, I don't suppose Amber's there by any chance.
So I never learned.
I could have said, well, I tell you, I never learned. I never learned.
I
learned.
I love that. I tell you, I never learned.
You know?
Yeah. What were your...
The number had 1-800, I'll tell you, you know?
What was your early act like?
I should have known.
Nick?
My early act was generally family stuff like, I mean, it's just horrible, but just my brother beating me up. And I remember one of my first jokes was, I'm not good, like, in bars. Like, I saw two businessmen, and one of them started bragging about his Audi. I'm like, why would you be talking about your belly button? That was like yeah. My third joke ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny, yeah. 19.
Wow.
Well, there's not a lot going on at 19.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I know.
Well.
Oh, man.
Do you remember your first joke on
I actually
stage,
feel bad right? that I let that yeah. out, that joke out, that I...
Just
I
now?
Remember
yeah, my, I, feel I remember oh, my yeah. very, very
it's
first
okay.
joke.
31 years
vulnerable.
Later.
Do you want me to make you feel better?
Yes, go ahead.
Someone actually just sent me a clip of one of my first maybe two times on stage. And there are jokes in there that are, like, really bad. But there was a joke about Goofy and Pluto and why Goofy can talk, but Pluto can't, and
right.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's actually
I love that joke. I've never heard anybody do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's funny.
I don't remember the joke exactly, but then there were really bad stuff like you can't get walls at Walmart, and you can't get posts at the post office.
Oh, wow, that's great.
I like that. I
it's
love
not
that.
Good.
I love
it. But if you added my joke into that chunk,
yes,
that would be a nice little
yeah.
TV set.
My first joke, October 8th, 1993.
This is TV. Your first TV set? Is that
no,
what you
no, no,
said?
My first open
oh,
mic set.
Open
my first
mic
open
set.
Mic set, October 8th, 1993. And how did it go? I said, Facebook memories, huh?
I was very confused for a moment.
I was too, yeah.
No, it was about Michael Jordan had just retired, and I said that he had retired because he had done everything there was to do in basketball, and the death of his father had left him despondent, and also he couldn't concentrate knowing that Joey Buttafuoco was behind bars. It was like a topical monologue joke. It bombed so hard. I can still feel the... Because you had built up your entire life. I'm going to be a comedian, and it's going to be great from the get-go.
Yeah.
And immediately it was like a slap in the face.
That's
like,
exactly
oh,
right, though. You do think, well, I'm
all.
A comic, so it'll
yeah.
just, I'll just
yeah.
ease into it, and it'll
yeah,
be
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And then there's just that horrible crash
right.
and burn.
Yeah. You have to be so delusional, I think, at first, because nobody... Very few comedians are actually any good their first
can't
50
imagine.
Times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man!
Yeah, I guess we all were, but I did well my first time because it was one of those bringer shows where everybody
yeah.
in the audience was my friend. And
where was
yeah.
that?
At Stand Up New York.
Oh. Yeah.
So I
that
actually
was my
did
experience
really, really
too.
Well.
I did well, but I had to do the impressions to really get them. The Michael Jordan joke didn't go over at all.
But I thought when I got off stage at Stand Up New York my first time in '93, I figured, all right, you know, now here we go, and they're going to start offering me paid spots. And
yeah.
I'm going to start making money, but
yeah.
Obviously, it was a little bit slower than anticipated.
Yeah.
But I had an early joke wherein I did an impression, well, not really an impression, but a basic Southern dialect impression of Governor George Wallace of Alabama doing the weather.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And here's the impression. Precipitation now, precipitation tomorrow.
Wow.
Precipitation for yeah, it's I
wow.
You gotta
that's like
that's heady.
Yeah,
yeah
that's like
too,
Mort Saul.
Yeah.
Mr. Mort Saul and Mr.
I mean if you don't know
in...
the reference, George
yeah.
Wallace famously said segregation now, segregation
yeah.
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Segregation forever.
But even for a person who's pretty up on history, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Governor Wallace, I do think at the end of his life, I think he embraced integration.
Wow.
I think. I'm not sure.
How big of him.
Well, I just want to set the... I just don't want to leave on a disparaging note toward Governor Wallace. In fact, he did change his mind on the whole thing.
Too little, too late. George.
Wait, Stephen Calabria has a question. This is our producer, Stephen Calabria.
Yeah, I have a question for all the comics at the table. Is it preferable to do clubs or corporate gigs?
Well, we've touched on that, but we can certainly readdress it. I prefer corporates. The audiences are usually not as good, but it's one show and done. Whereas a club is generally the whole weekend.
But he asked about colleges, right?
Did you say colleges or
clubs are corporate gigs?
Oh, I thought you said
or
college.
I guess colleges too.
I thought you said colleges.
As far as colleges are concerned, I couldn't relate to them when I was in college. I'm not about to start
now. That's a great point.
Yeah. But that's my take. I know Gary loves clubs, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my meat and potatoes is clubs, and it's hard, but I like it. I find corporate events, I know we're whatever, stating the obvious, but incredibly anxiety-inducing. Yes.
Well, it's obvious. That's not obvious to the listeners.
I remember Andy Kindler saying something like, yeah, it's like $10,000 or something, and by the end of it, it's never enough.
It's not enough, right. Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, that's where I disagree with Andy. First of all, I don't get paid $10,000 to do a corporate. But if I did, I would find it to be sufficient.
Yeah.
Especially afterwards when you're done.
Right.
You go back to the hotel, you got 10 G's. You're 10 G's richer.
Yeah.
You order up room service.
Right.
And if I was so inclined, although I don't typically do this, maybe you get a hooker. I wouldn't, but...
It's fun to be a hooker and then get a hooker.
One might do that.
But Nick, why is it so anxiety-inducing?
Because there's, they generally give you rules on what you can and can't say, which is fine. But sometimes they're vague in how they articulate them, and then so you're worried, oh my gosh, it's going to be, I'm going to say the wrong thing on accident and ruin these people's, 2018 sales convention. Yeah.
Well, they'll tell you, here's the thing when it becomes complicated, is they tell you be clean, but your clean and their clean may not be the same
clean.
That's
what I mean. It's terrible.
You know, to them, they'll say like no F-bombs. Oh, yeah, you can say anything, just no F-bombs. Well, okay, you know what? My guess is if I say I came on her face, you wouldn't like that either.
Yeah. Mm.
But they wouldn't
and
say that to me.
Shit might make you uncomfortable.
Shit would probably be okay, but if they say
but it might
no-
make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You never know.
But the thing
you
is,
say anything you
they
want.
Might not even, in their minds, they're not even thinking about being cummed on. That didn't even cross their mind. They're don't say the F-bomb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they don't even have the thought of
continue
just
with that
squirting.
Line right there, that coming on. That's a good topic.
Well, do you have more to add?
No, I was just saying, I'm kidding,
just saying, you got to interpret what they mean by clean.
It's horrible, yeah.
And oftentimes when they say clean, they also mean politically correct. Like, if they say clean, you probably can't joke about drugs either. That's not clean, it's not dirty, but it's probably also verboten.
I think what they're really saying, and you're absolutely right, is when they say be clean, they're saying don't offend anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course you don't, there's 1,000 people there, 500 people, and of course you don't know in all their tastes and all their, things, and it's a nightmare. And,
well, Ryan, it's like you with the balloon joke.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be somebody who gets offended about it.
Well, that's a very extreme case, but Ryan, just why don't you briefly discuss what he's talking about?
I have a long joke about hot air balloons, and at the end I tell a story about how someone came up to me after a show and complained to the club manager, and the club manager asked me to go talk to them, and he thought it was hilarious, and I went out and they were hot air balloonists and they were truly personally offended.
Yeah.
And the joke is I don't remember what I said to them, but I remember the first thought I had, which is I've finally become the edgy boundary pushing comedian that I always wanted to be.
Hilarious.
Perfect.
But I like doing those corporate events, and you can in the vein of that, you can push them in some ways. You know, you can be edgy for that environment. It's kind of fun because you can make fun of what they do or where we are or the whole thing that's happening. But I've lately found that I really enjoy, I definitely agree that the corporates are like more anxiety, but I kind of am becoming like enjoying the challenge of it. And I'm thinking of each show as like a show, and just I like to create stuff that works anywhere, and I like that challenge, and it's kind of fun.
That's true. One great thing about it is I do not worry at all that they've seen any of this.
Yes, you don't have to worry about the old stuff.
I can do my greatest hits.
Yeah, you do the greatest hits.
Yeah, I have to run to Tom Papa's show around the corner.
Okay. Cool. Great
Thanks
having you, Gary.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
See you, Gary.
See you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. Mike Fenoya?
Yeah, Mike
All right,
Fenoya's
we got a few more minutes. Mike, if you want to sit down. It's Mike Fenoya. Again, another white male. We were reprimanded, if you will, earlier by Marina because it's all white guys on today's episode. But what can I do, Mike? I invite people of all creeds, but they don't come sometimes.
What is a creed, by the way, besides it being like kind of a motto?
That's an interesting point.
It's a belief system.
Is it?
I think so.
Good for you. I had no idea. I would not have.
Michael, we were talking earlier about the Comedy Cellar, Comedy Central show.
Yeah, I'm doing it tomorrow.
Is this your first time?
Yeah, I can't wait.
And how do you feel?
I'm very, very excited about it.
I would never ask you to reveal the jokes, but what topics are you working on for tomorrow night's?
I'm working on a couple of the Michelle Obama's book.
Michelle Obama has a new book out. That's one of the topics.
And I started to work on a couple jokes about the fires, and then I'm like, you know what? It's not funny to me. So why am I going to try to fit a square peg into a
round? You know, the fires are tricky. It's not the fires are tragic, absolutely, but I think there's still humor there. I don't think it's so devastatingly horrible, even though people have died.
Oh yeah, of course.
But I still think there's humor to be gotten.
There's definitely jokes to be made. Just I'm not going to be the one to make them, and not for any reason other than
whereas like the Pittsburgh shooting, for example, or any of these mass shootings, or the more recent shooting, because there's one every day now. The more recent shooting at that country was a country music place or whatever. That you couldn't make anything funny.
No,
I don't think. I mean, maybe you could.
Well, Ted Alexander had a funny tweet that was like. He made a shooting joke, and somebody said too soon, and he goes, do you mean too soon after this one or too soon until the next one?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, they really are literally every day. I was having a conversation with someone, and they were like, oh, that shooting was sad. And I'm like, you mean the one in the yoga studio? And they're like, there was a shooting in a yoga studio? And
oh, yeah,
like,
you can't even,
holy shit.
You can't even necessarily
keep track.
The
guns are terrible.
Keep track of it. I think it's social media. I think that people are just, it's copycat shit.
Yeah,
I think you know it's becoming like in style to do these shootings. I mean, what else could explain the sudden increase? I mean, most of them don't seem to be political. Some are politically motivated, but most seem to be just nutty people.
Mm. Wasn't that one guy living in like a Trump van?
Well, that was the bomber guy.
Oh, that was the bomber.
But
that
he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah,
he tried.
He tried. It was a terrible try, but he did try.
The TV show has been fantastic. Let's get on a higher
lighter.
I watched them, and I thought they were really incredible. I just wanted to see the... It's neat, because we're always here. You know what I mean? And it's interesting to see it on TV, and
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look at the outside.
I know. I saw the
colors
here. It was cool.
But what do normal people think? Your wife, for example.
Well, you're using normal a little liberally there. You
well,
can catch
not,
me, hopefully.
Well, not industry related.
No, she loved it. You know... The reason why I started doing stand-up, and I think, Ryan, maybe you and I talked about this, was
all right.
Jerry Seinfeld's comedian documentary. Was that
Yeah, probably.
I watched that documentary in the movie theater, and
yeah.
It was like the colors inside the olive tree.
Yeah.
This place seemed like it was like, you know, the inside of a Christmas ornament or something.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, God, it's so like interestingly lit and all that. And to see that on TV again...
Oh, that's cool.
From like the table talking and all that,
that's
you know,
a full it's, circle. Thing.
Yeah, it's really full circle.
That is.
How
cool.
Might you improve the TV show if you were asked how it might be improved?
More of me on it.
Oh.
Otherwise, really, and then more Nick.
Okay, but more in
no,
terms
I'm
of formatting.
I wish it was longer.
Oh, okay.
Really, it's an hour, isn't it?
No, it's a half hour.
Oh, I thought it was an hour. Somebody
there's
told
some,
me it was an hour.
No, I think there's some bits that could definitely be. You know, I'd like to see more.
A lot of the bits are very short.
Yeah, that's one thing. But in writing for it, too, you have to kind of think about that.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, short bits are fine, but so are longer bits. You know, I mean, you don't want to...
No, you're right. I think if
but
it was an
not,
hour
that,
show,
there's
it would
not,
still be
the problem is because it's a half an hour, of which there's 8 minutes of commercials or whatever it is, of which there's, say, 10 minutes of people talking at the table. You know, they do that table talk stuff. So there's only whatever 15 minutes for the actual stand-up, or whatever it is, and so you know it's limited in that way.
I like that there are tweets included in it. You know, there were some tweets by Adrian and some tweets by I think there was a tweet of yours maybe.
Was there?
I thought so.
Oh boy, that'd be nice to.
They just take tweets out of your.
Well, you have to give them permission to do it.
Yeah. Like there was a tweet from Adrian, and then there was a bit by Adrian.
Oh,
and I thought that was really cool.
That's cool.
You know, I thought it was kind of nice that it shares, you know,
expand
the social media. Dan was on it. I thought you did a fantastic job.
I was in
the
first episode. Yeah. Well, thank you. That
quite good.
Thank you so much. That was the masturbation joke. but you'll have to go watch it to find out what it was.
It's been getting rave reviews, though, right? People love it.
That joke or the show?
No, definitely the joke.
No, I haven't heard anything, to be
Getting
honest.
The
I
show.
Haven't heard anything. I don't know if the show's been getting rave reviews. I go online, I look for it, and I don't see a whole lot, to be honest. So you know, it's not Stranger Things. I mean, it's not on everybody's lips. So you know, for now, maybe it will be, maybe it won't be. Hopefully it will last.
I see some good promo around the city for it. There's billboards.
Yeah,
and things.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, Comedy Central's spending the money to promo it. But I what I'm not hearing necessarily right now is buzz amongst people that are talking about it.
It's interesting for us to know because usually we're so into it that we don't really have anyone else to talk to. Like all of everybody we know is doing the show.
Well,
so
that's true.
Yeah. It's hard for us to know what's going on.
It seems like an incredibly daunting task for the post-production to have to flip a show in like what 48 hours because it's like filmed that week and then it airs Friday.
Right, they got to chop it up, find all the jokes.
I mean, that's a process, you know. I mean, most TV shows they film it and then a month later, 6 weeks later, it comes out. You know, this is like 24.
Yeah, although the editing is a little simpler because there's you know, I don't think there's a lot of much camera angles and there's only one take. You know, normally a show you'd have 10 takes of the same scene from different angles and you'd have to put it all together. Right. This show is just one take and they just have to decide which jokes they're going to use. So in that sense, I don't know that the editing is all that
rigorous. But it's not just one angle. I mean, there are quite a bit of different,
I guess there's different angles but there's only one take. So they don't have to decide which take they're going to use.
Sure.
And they don't have to cut in, like, audience shots because I don't think there's any audience shots.
But there's a couple.
Are there a couple audience shots? Anyway, Stephen, do you have anything to any questions, comments, or suggestions? What's our email for feedback?
I don't know.
It's
Noam is the one who usually.
Yeah, I know. It's podcast. I don't know what it is, but
just email the Comedy Cellar.
How do you do that?
Just go on the website and find the email.
You can do that too. Okay. Well, you know, if you were hoping for a deep dive into politics, you're not going to get it from me. So don't come bitching at me that you didn't get your fix of Noam style.
Dan, if you want, we can also give out your phone number.
No, we don't have to do that.
Okay.
But what you do get with me is an inside look into all things Comedy Cellar.
That's right. We talked some good comedy.
And
I thought we gave some insights.
I think we accomplished that.
Yeah.
I thank Nick Griffin, Gary Gulman, Ryan Hamilton, Mike Fenoya joining us last minute, but better late than not at all.
Good to be here.
And we thank you. See you next time.
Thank you.